The devotion for tonight is taken from Mark chapter 9, verse 24. And the title there is actually from the verse itself, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And I'll be giving this devotion. So quick introduction. There are three identical stories of Jesus healing the boy with an unclean spirit in four gospels. Now these three same stories can be found in Mark chapter 9, Matthew chapter 17, and Luke chapter 9. But when you compare these three stories, there are many interesting facts in these three stories, okay, that is only found in each one of them. For tonight's devotion, we will be covering just one unique fact that is found in the Gospel of Mark. And what is missing from the Gospel of Mark and Matthew, Matthew and Luke are found in the Gospel of Mark are the words of the Father that came to Jesus for healing. But his disciples weren't able to help this man whose son was possessed with the Holy Spirit. So in Mark chapter 9, we see the following behavior and words of the Father. And straight away, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Now what led the father to cry out these words? From the three gospel texts, it can be seen that the father uttered these words out of love and concern for his son, as well as the challenge that Jesus gave him. In the verse before that, Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now more on this verse later, but let us continue with this story first. So the three gospel tells us that the boy was possessed by an evil spirit since childhood. This evil spirit makes the now teenage boy unable to talk. At times, the evil spirit controls the boy and throws him to the ground. He will grind his teeth, foam at the mouth, and become rigid. There was also attempt by the evil spirit to kill the boy, either by drowning or burning him. And on the day of the story that was told, and it's for our meditation today at March chapter 9, when the evil spirit saw Jesus, he immediately did the same thing to the boy. We are also told that he did it violently, which father would not be heartbroken when his son is going through such an ordeal. But what made the matter worse, what increases the father's anguish, was the disciples' inability to heal the boy. The father must have heard about Jesus' miraculous healing power and expected the disciples of Jesus to be able to heal like their master. From the disciples' failures to help him, the father must have started to doubt that Jesus could heal his son too. The unnamed father had lost faith in Jesus because of his disciples' failure to heal the boy. The father may have reasoned that Jesus too would be unable to heal his son, and he made the following request. And these words are very important. He made the following request to Jesus in Mark chapter 9, verse 22. And oftentimes we are cast into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Notice the faith and doubt of the Father's request. But if thou can do anything, the father was saying, Jesus, but if you can help, if there's something you can do, have compassion on us and help us. That was the cry of the father. But let us compare this particular behavior of the father to that of a leper in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. Now from Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to verse 3, we will see Jesus' reason for challenging the father to believe in him. So Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, when Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper, and this leper worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Our focus is on the comparison between these two men is in verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Here, the leper asked for healing. But his attitude was different from that of the father. First, he worshipped Jesus. He submitted himself to Jesus and he pleaded with Jesus, please heal me. The leper did not lack faith. He was not doubting God. He feared God, he feared Jesus, and he was submissive. If you will, please heal me. The other one was, if you can. So it's two very separate emphasis. The leper was submissive. For the father of the boy who was possessed by an evil spirit in Mark chapter 9, his request was an act of faith and doubt at the same time. It was this attitude of the father that draws a sharp response from Jesus, who told him in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to him, if thou canst, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, this response of Jesus to the father's request is much clearer when there's an exclamation mark after the word believe. So let me rephrase it slightly. So Jesus said to him, if you can, notice Jesus is using his own words against the father. If you can, are you asking me if I can? When it comes to God's ability and power and might, it's never about whether he can or he cannot. God definitely can. Jesus can. So when he asked the father back, if you can, and then he gives his reply, all things are possible for one who believes or believes in me. Jesus was challenging the father not to doubt, but to believe that he could heal his son, even when his disciples had failed him. And then on hearing Jesus' challenge, the response of the father was immediate because he believed and now he asked for help to continue to believe Jesus. That's where our verse of our meditation tonight comes in. And straight away the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Now, there are many things we could learn from this gospel story, especially when we put together different pieces from three different accounts. But I would like to keep this devotion just to that one particular difference in Mark chapter 9, verse 24, and just mention three following applications from this biblical text. The main application of this story is believing Jesus. And believing Jesus will have the fruit of obedience. As you can read on the screen, Satan also believed in Jesus. But what distinguishes Satan from the true believer? Obedience. So the three applications for tonight is one. First one is this. Our failures are not Jesus' failure. Two, the real issue is believing Jesus. And three, it's a title for our text tonight. I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Our failures are not Jesus' failure. The Lord Jesus knows the problem at the start of the story, and it was whether everyone had faith in him. Let's look at Mark 19. He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. This verse is rather unique actually, because in the beginning, Jesus said, him. Okay, at the beginning of the verse, him is singular. And then the father's generation is plural. In other words, in this verse, Jesus was calling out the father, he was calling out his disciples, and everybody present for their lack of faith in him. Jesus tells us in this verse that when the disciples could not heal the boy, it was because they did not believe him. Now, on this matter of belief, R.C. Sproul and G.I. Packer has much to say about the difference between believing in God and believing God. Now, R.C. Sproul distinguishes believing between believing in God and believing God this way. And that is, while many people acknowledge God's existence, just like the devil, just like Satan. He acknowledges God's, Jesus' existence, but they do not necessarily believe or trust what God says or trust what the Bible says about him. For G.I. Packer, he says that the difference is very profound. Believing in something can be merely an intellectual exercise, but truly believing involves a deep commitment. In the context of faith, it means living in a relation of commitment to God in trust and union. So the concept of faith goes beyond mere belief. It involves a trusting commitment, a reliance on God that's far more comprehensive and is very far-reaching. And I think one of the very good ways to illustrate this particular point is Joshua. Joshua is a very practical example. Joshua not only believed in God, but he believed God's word. And when God told him, be strong and courageous, Joshua acted on that belief, attacking his enemies with the firm expectation of victory. This type of believing is what gives God. And scripture repeatedly shows us that it is this faith that matters, faith that transforms our action, faith that changes the way we feel, faith that changes the way we make decisions, for example. So let's bring this in application to our prayer meeting. When we pray at this prayer meeting, or when we pray privately, do we believe Jesus? And we end or leave the prayer meeting with a resolve to obey him? Does our prayer life change the way we feel? Changing from sorrow to joy, from uncertainty to peace. Because the time spent with our God fills our heart with hope, with joy, and with peace. Do we believe that the Lord is very near and he brings great comfort when the world around us is crumbling and we are grieving? Do we have faith in Jesus, or do we believe Jesus? Do you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and his words can cause you to immediately throw yourself down at his feet and worship him? The Church of Jesus Christ, and that means you and me, we are challenged by Jesus in this story to be a people who believed him when others in the church has failed us. Can we still believe in Jesus when people in church has failed us? Let us live according to the Bible's instruction and promises, which are the very words of God, and they are actually the very voice of Jesus. And let us do this so that the people around us can see Jesus in us. When people has failed us, let us keep our eyes on Jesus. That's the first application. The second application is this, and that is, the real issue in this story is believing Jesus. In Mark chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, Matthew 17, where all the three stories are found, okay, we are told that Jesus' earthly ministry was coming to a close, and he was preparing his disciples for the impending events of the Passion Week. And the story of our meditation tonight, okay, was in that time frame. And just after the story of Jesus' transfiguration, the glory of Jesus was temporarily unveiled at the transfiguration and was revealed to Peter, James, and John. The three of them saw Jesus' glory, and they saw him talking with Moses and Elijah. What a sight that must have been. And what a way for Jesus to prepare his disciples to continue to believe him in view of the impending horror of the cross. They needed to see the suffering of their Lord before they could see the glory that was to be revealed at the resurrection. And Jesus encouraged them by giving them a glimpse of that at the transfiguration. The story for tonight's devotion about believing Jesus for who he is and what he came to do is very important. The people then and everybody present tonight cannot lose sight of Jesus' life and ministry and how Jesus is Lord and Savior of the world. Like every Christmas, We cannot lose sight of who Jesus is and what was his mission. That was recorded for us at Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Then the verse reads like this, "And she, is Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou, which is Joseph, shall call his name Jesus." And the last part is where we are, it's revealed for us what is the purpose of Jesus coming to earth. "For he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus came to save us from our sins. Let us ask ourselves, why are we a Christian? And what is the Church of Jesus Christ? Was it for health? Was it for wealth? Was it for social work and social activities? Or is it to be saved from our sins and to bring sinners to the cross? Let us look to embrace the true meaning and joy of Jesus' resurrection. That Jesus came to be born, to die, and to be resurrected to save us from our sin. There's much to teach about on the subject of salvation and sanctification, and can we spend the rest of eternity, this side of eternity, to learn about it. Of how our sinful lives will look like under the amazing grace and love of Jesus. It is indeed most wonderful to be saved and sustained by Jesus' loving kindness and steadfast love. So while we are here, and until Jesus return or calls us home as a church, let us help one another to experience the love of God, that we may love him more dearly with each new day that he gave to us. The issue of faith is to believe Jesus, who he is, what he came for, what he can do. So whatever is our life's station, and whatever is our life's circumstances, let us not lose sight, nor shall we stop believing Jesus. And now we come to the final point of tonight's application, which is the word, "I believe, help thou my unbelief." The reality of our faith is that under stress, we too are like the Father. We believe and yet doubt. The story for our meditation continues with Jesus seeing the people running to see if he could heal the boy. And Jesus immediately solved their doubt by healing the boy. And that's verse 25. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more unto him." In this context, when we were struggling to believe in Jesus, or we struggle to believe Jesus, do we need another miracle of Jesus to believe him? Is this miracle recorded 3 times in the Bible not enough to convince us of who Jesus is, that he is God, and what he came to do? All this is written in the Bible. Nowadays, there are many believers who want more signs of Jesus' presence, more signs of his power. We look for miracles in the stories of people's life before we tell ourselves to trust Jesus. We want to read more inspiring and impactful stories, hear more impactful sermons about people before we will choose to obey Jesus. We want Jesus to show us something first before we will believe him. This is living by sight, not by faith. Such a kind of behavior seems to say that the stories in the Bible is not enough. We rather believe the stories of today. And sometimes we don't even know whether they are true or not true. I don't know whether you have this problem of people circulating stories from YouTube, from Facebook, with very special happening. But the first question we must always ask ourselves, are they true? We rather believe those stories sometimes. We are so motivated by the stories. Rather, should we not believe in those stories in the Bible? And those stories in the Bible are inspired, infallible, inerrant. Those miracles in the Bible are true. You cannot doubt them. There's no way you can doubt them. They are the very words of God recorded to encourage us. Is the Bible not enough for you to believe in Him? To believe in God? It really takes believing Jesus to be moved by the stories in the Bible. And when you doubt, let us return to those Bible stories. Let us return to those assurances. Let us not turn to human stories to have our faith encouraged, to have ourselves propped up, to be able to live another day for Jesus. We can do this. We can have this kind of faith, believing that Jesus is God. Why? Because God has given us this faith to believe in Him. Like the Father, then, when we are struggling to believe, let us pray the same prayer as the Father. Dear God, dear Lord Jesus, I believed. Help down my unbelief. So in conclusion, the word of the Father in Mark chapter 9 verse 24 must be our cries to the Lord Jesus when our faith is being tested and the weight of the test seems unbearable. Let us encourage one another to continue believing Jesus. Our prayer for our church should be that the relationship that we have with one another is a spiritual one, one of spiritual concern for one another. And may this be the hallmark of our church. May this be what sets us apart from the world, because we believe and we ask the Lord to help our unbelief. Let us pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for showing us how frail we are and yet encouraging us to cry out to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you will hear our prayer. You will strengthen our faith. Now give us, Lord, the ability to press on. Encourage us to draw close to you. And Father, help Life Church to be a place where we encourage one another in our walk with you, where we encourage one another to believe you, where we encourage one another to love you more each day. So help us, dear Father, for we pray and ask for us in Jesus' name. Amen.